I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Monday. And you're staying warm. It's cold.
Boy, it is cold.
And you know how I know it's cold?
How?
I went outside.
Yeah. It's a very biting cold. And again, it tricked me a little bit because it was sunny this morning. So I went to take the dogs for a walk, had to come back and regroup.
Very cold.
Yeah,
the wind. Well, see, if you were like us olds and watched the weather, you would know that it was abnormally cold out there.
I don't. The wind gets me. The wind starts kicking up. No good. Had to go back in and put on the gloves.
Sounds like it's going to warm up tomorrow, though. Don't you worry.
Well, it's going to be in the 40s?
45.
Just like Palm Springs.
My name's Isaac. Jason Sakanek right over there, and there's Ryan Buckley. He's mourning the loss of the San Francisco 49ers' entire quarterback room.
And womp womp.
And maybe wanted by federal authorities. We're not certain yet.
That too.
Keep an eye on that.
Coming up here, we will get to our AFC Championship crab dip. Now, so far, if you're just tuning in, you've missed very little Chiefs-Bengals talk. We're going to get to that next. We've dissected Eagles-Niners. And tonight in the club... We now know who will play Michael Jackson in a new, is it biopic or biopic?
We've done this back and forth. I think both are acceptable.
I prefer biopic.
I always say biopic too, but, you know.
We'll be yelled at by word
sure.
guy.
There'll be some dude that comes out.
Well, it's interesting, though, because like with a book, you wouldn't call it a biography. You call it a biography, you know?
Okay.
So when you like shorten it, it's weird. I do think more often we want to say biopic, but then if we're doing it along the same pronunciation of a biography, that would be opposite.
I don't know, man. What would you say?
Biopic.
You're wrong.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right.
No, sounds very weird to
I've
me.
Never heard it that way until recently.
That being said, it's going to be about Michael Jackson, so it should be weird. Like, I'm assuming this is being made probably from the point of view of the Jackson family because they have to sign off on all
100%.
That. 100%. And... the problem that I have with all these picks is whatever you want to call them.
Biopics.
The biopics. Then you get a whole group of people to think that that's actually what happened, and it couldn't be more whitewashed and sanitized. And
who cares?
Let me just say that this Michael Jackson one, it's that thing's going to be a giant turd. I'm just calling it from the get-go.
All right. That'll be in the club, 6 to 7, some other stuff in there. But right now, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan. Number 5.
Blazers host the Hawks tonight. They are from Atlanta.
Hey, the Blazers are favored in this game.
Both teams are shockingly average.
Get excited. Hey, I think if you're calling the Blazers average at this point, you take that.
Atlanta, they've lost 3 of 4. Blazers list Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic questionable. In other news, legendary hockey star Bobby Hull has died.
The Golden Jet, one of the all-time greats.
The age of 84. I assume that's Brett Hull's papa.
You are correct. Arguably, the greatest father-son duo in any sport, but then the Howes. So it's all in hockey. It's either the Howes or the Hulls, but this is one of the Mount Rushmore father-son duos in the history of sports.
Who wins in a fight, the Howes or the Hulls?
The Howes.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, but Gordy, he was a mean old bastard.
Well,
number four.
Rest in peace.
Yes. The Jet.
Bobby Hull. Oregon has set its spring game for Saturday, April 29th at 1 p.m. Will be televised on the Pac-12 network. Admission is free. Parking will cost you, though.
That's how they get you. Are they sticking with you for some parking? Do we know?
No idea. They are selling parking passes, though. In other college football news, we have former UW quarterback Sam Heward transferring to Cal Poly.
Huh?
He will be going to Cal Poly. Do you know who their coach is?
Is that Bo Baldwin?
No.
Who's the Cal Poly coach?
Paul Wolf. Famously of Washington State.
So Sam Heward, who at one point we were told was the number one pro-style quarterback in the country, goes to his heritage school at UW. Can't get on the field, and he's now transferring to Cal Poly?
Correct.
Does he want to be an engineer?
I don't know.
What is... Huh?
They did say that his high school coach is the OC there, so maybe that's the time. Also, I got two other things. Washington offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb is being courted for the same gig at Alabama.
Yeah, and that means if they want him, he'll leave.
Now, do you think there's a danger that Penix goes there?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I'm guessing no. One, he's coming off a successful season, and his connection to that is the head coach, DeBoer, who coached him at Indiana.
I
would assume that that's not in danger, but, you know, who knows?
Championship-winning quarterback Stetson Bennett arrested over the weekend. The Georgia QB was nabbed for public intoxication.
He had a Baker Mayfield-esque scene out there getting tackled and...
Wasn't he knocking on multiple people's doors or something like that?
Well, Lord knows they're not going to get him for underage drinking. So.
No. It's just that it's kind of a poor form because remember he said he's going to skip the Senior Bowl and this isn't what you... When you're trying to prove to someone that, you know, you can overcome the odds, that's not what you want.
Number two.
All right, a lot of coaching news. Niners defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans is expected to be named the new coach of the Texans this week, although that's not official.
No, and I guess they're talking to Vic Fangio to replace him already. You know, and Vic's doing that. We haven't made any sort of decision.
Wait a minute. Fangio, they're saying, is in Miami. Yeah, Miami got Fangio.
Over
the weekend.
Oh, I thought I saw that Fangio was considering the San Francisco job.
The Dolphins made Vic Fangio their defensive coordinator. He becomes the highest paid coordinator in the league.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Cowboys and offensive coordinator Kellen Moore mutually agreed to part ways. Mike McCarthy, the new play caller in Dallas. Meanwhile, Moore will not stay unemployed for long. He is expected to be named the new offensive coordinator of the Chargers.
Yeah, this is one of those where Moore has had some success there. They built very good offenses, and he gets equal part praise and scorn there. And it was just time for everyone to get a clean slate, especially if McCarthy wanted to take back over some duties, the play calling duties like he had in Green Bay. And if you're Moore, I know like the Dallas offense is great, but you got to be pretty ecstatic going to work for the Chargers and Herbert and those weapons.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one
fan. Number one. Number one.
Yeah, this is what I was saying. I saw this. So they're saying that Fangio deal is not official yet. They're saying that there may be some wiggle room and that San Francisco may be trying to court Fangio because they know that D'Amico Ryans is going to go and they're going to make a late push to say don't go to Miami, come to San Francisco. So keep an eye on that here.
My eyes are on it.
That would be a good snipe on the part of San Francisco if they can pull Fangio out of from going to the Dolphins.
And they're saying it is a torn UCL for Brock Purdy, Niners quarterback. He said he felt shocks all down his body. He is going to require surgery. It's basically Tommy John surgery. And they're saying he will be out 6 months.
Yeah, that's a... You feel bad for the kid. You feel bad for the Niners. And I just saw so many dumbasses trying to question his toughness. Because you know they've got him on camera telling Shanahan that he can't go, that he can't throw the ball. And I love all the Twitter warriors. And it turns out the guy's got a torn UCL. You know, that's... And then still came back in the game to hand off the ball. But, you know, you can't throw it more than 3 yards with that.
Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert has a torn labrum on his non-throwing shoulder. He had surgery to get it fixed. They say he'll be ready for OTAs with his new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. And the Cardinals are saying Kyler Murray may not be back until the midway point of next season, just to make sure he's 100%.
Yeah, and then that goes into a whole other thing. If you're the Cardinals, you want to talk about a team that 2 years ago looked like they were heading one direction and now has uncertainty across the board, I give you the Cardinals.
All right, up next is our AFC Championship Crab Dip. Let's look at Bengals-Chiefs. A lot to discuss there. It is 5:12 on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, hey. This is your Foo Fighters band, right, that you like?
The oldest thing you've ever said.
Your Foo Fighters this group?
That hip cat Foo Fighters. They're all 50 now.
Dave Grohl was on an ad, and I can't remember which game it was.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's a setup for a Crown Royal Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, I didn't understand
that. I'm assuming it's like ads that they're trying to get Dave Grohl to do, and then ultimately he's going to settle on doing a Crown Royal ad. I think it was confusing to me, too.
Yeah, because he's just reading a list of things.
Yeah.
And then it just says Crown Royal.
Yeah, and then the Super Bowl date. So
didn't understand.
I don't.
I was wondering if that.
They're now doing Super Bowl ads. They're doing ads to set up Super Bowl ads.
Right.
So I love Dave Grohl, so I don't care.
I thought maybe you could explain that to me, you and your Dave Grohl crush. But.
I do have a massive Dave Grohl, Grohl crush, but I don't know what this is. Nor do I really drink Crown Royal, so, you know.
Well, that was a great game.
Yeah, so is the Crown Royal, the pre-made Crown and Cokes. Those are pretty good, though, too. But yes, the game was phenomenal. And we needed it because the NFC Philly cheesesteak, as you like to call it, that thing kicked rocks. That game absolutely sucked, whereas this one was great, although...
Well, there was a lot of intrigue in the NFC game. It's just, I mean, the game wasn't good, but there were a lot of interesting things going on that were kind of hard to take your eyes off of.
But the...
Christian McCaffrey hopefully playing quarterback, which never happened.
No, it was a bummer. I really thought that this Kansas City game was going to get out of hand. It sure seemed that way for a while that, oh boy, here we come. And then Cincinnati started hanging around and this is what they do. And I really felt at the end, I would have doubled down by, cause I bet on Cincinnati anyways. In the fourth quarter, I felt that game was in Cincinnati's hands and they couldn't hold up in pass protection.
Well, I want them to play every year.
Yes.
Because that is a great rivalry.
Yeah.
And they definitely hate each other.
And you were talking about the whole Burrowhead stuff and what kind of impact that can make. And
dude,
you could definitely tell after the game, much like in the Cincinnati Buffalo game, that was sticking in the kitchen of some, and by some, I mean all of the Kansas City players.
I mean, the Kansas City has some interesting characters, okay? They've got some bros that are just big personalities.
Yep.
But I don't know if it's just me, but it seems as though they are taking crap talking to another level.
Yes.
Like, they do not care.
No.
So I've got several examples of this. Well, Kelce postgame was fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's start with that one.
Yeah, which part of Kelce postgame?
I want the Burrow.
Which you go jabroni.
Burrow head my ass.
All right, we could start there.
Oh, thank God, man.
See, I love that. First of all, did you catch the low-key greatness about that clip?
What Mahomes is saying?
Yes, when Mahomes is like, well, I'd really like to thank God. Yeah, enough of this God crap. How about Burrowhead in my ass?
Yeah, if you didn't see it, this is they're interviewing Patrick Mahomes, and Kelce comes and photobombs, and Ric Flair's the whole thing.
Oh, thank God, man.
I also
he's
love
great.
The it's way like he just injected six beers immediately or
well,
something.
Well,
like
that or he does that professional wrestling.
Yeah,
bit.
He does. Yeah.
Like, he just sounds like he's a professional wrestler.
It's the Ric Flair, but the way, can we play one more time? The way he hits ass,
yeah,
it's
great.
It's, you know, like you have a cocktail and then there's an elevated cocktail. There's swearing and then there's elevated swearing. The way he enunciates this, it's just chef's kiss.
Oh, thank God, man.
I love it.
Yeah, there's flair in there.
I love
it. Okay, so here's Frank Clark. Did you hear what Frank Clark said?
Yes.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They're going to take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Cheesecake and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank, I told him all holler at me. I told them last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game.
So
take
again,
their bum ass back.
Dude, the Chiefs do not give a
no,
rip.
They don't
and then,
care.
Because usually you just say, well, it was great. Dude, that Burrowhead thing, that pissed them off.
Yeah.
I was asking Suk about it previously, like, I think maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, and, like, that doesn't really matter to these guys, does it? And he was like, no, I can't imagine it would, but clearly you hear him afterwards,
oh,
and
dude.
Yo.
But see, here's the thing. It shouldn't. That's the AFC Championship game. That team has beaten you three in a row. You're ready to
play
them.
That's all the juice you need. Yeah.
You're ready to play them. At the same time, though, when guys say that, make no mistake, players use it.
They file it away.
They don't even need it, but they use it. It's just any little edge that they can grab from it, they will. And clearly, Kansas City rallied around that.
Yeah, when you, like I said, you heard it from Cincinnati when they beat Buffalo, they felt the way the NFL handled it, it was massive disrespect. And when enough guys say, you're like, okay, that clearly was a bee in the bonnet. And I felt like everyone in Kansas City, besides Patrick Mahomes, who was trying to take the high road, everyone else was just going off. And then, like, Kelce called the mayor of Cincinnati a jabroni.
Yeah, we got that. I'll get that in a second, but I got one more on the Burrow, taking shots at Burrow. Yeah. Everybody was taking a shot at Burrow.
Yeah.
And this is Mahomes' dad. Have you seen him yet?
Well, I'm familiar with him, but
I wasn't.
You don't know his dad?
No, I was only familiar with his wife and
his
brother.
Yeah, who are the two worst people on the planet.
But they found his dad on the field after
found
the game.
Senior?
And he was smoking a cigar. Here's what he said.
I'm smoking to Joe Burrow.
You smoking on the Joe Burrow?
I'm smoking on the Joe Burrow.
How's it feel to be headed back to the Super Bowl?
It feels great, you know. You know, my baby boy did what he always do. You know, he's going to show up and show out, and I'm just glad he did it.
Smoking the Joe Burrow.
Pat Sr. seemed like he was having a time.
Oh, he was housed.
I'm guessing, he had a few libations.
Okay, so Kelce postgame, Cincinnati Mayor. How many people even knew that the Cincinnati Mayor thing was out there?
Yeah.
Until he said something about it. I didn't.
I knew this was out there, but I think it had been overshadowed. But yes, this was, I don't think this had become quite as public as some of the other stuff, but I'm sure back in Kansas City and Cincinnati when the mayor starts speaking up.
So let's first play you what the Cincinnati mayor said. that made Kelsey go all...
Yeah, Ric Flair.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test, confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
So cringy.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, politicians, God.
Stop. Stop.
Did any of them ever have a personality ever?
No. It's like when they, you know, it's the... Anytime a politician attempts to like, oh, go local sports team. Stop it.
By the way, have you ever heard of the term hospitalist?
No, I can't say that I have.
I only did this week because my father-in-law was meeting with a hospitalist.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard of this. Wait. But that guy right there, the Cincinnati mayor, his wife is a hospitalist.
What is a hospitalist?
Well, from what I understand, it's...
Well, Buck's dad met with
it's one. It's a doctor who only... sees patients at the hospital.
Right. It's, I mean, they're basically an individual who's kind of charged with understanding, I think, all the things that you're going through at the hospital. Like, my father-in-law was in there because he had, like, a gallbladder issue, but he's also got heart stuff going on, and I think it's on the hospitalist to make sure all the different parties are talking to each other, that people are on the same page, and that while you're at the hospital, all the lines of communication are clear, and someone is responsible for knowing all the different things that are happening to you, so I think.
But is a hospitalist a doctor, or is it just an administrator?
I think they're a doctor, but I don't know. I'm shook by it. I'd never heard of
that. Do we have a hospitalist out there listening to us? Please call in or text in and let us know what the hell it is you do.
Anyway, that guy, the Cincinnati mayor, his wife is a hospitalist. Okay, so that's what provoked Travis Kelce to say this post-game on the podium.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Jabroni. And then he goes, oh, you cut it out. He goes, you gotta fight
for your
right to party.
I didn't know what that was for, so I cut it out.
Well, it was so random. It's like,
he went,
that doesn't match what he just, like, what did you say that for?
Going right from The Rock to the Beastie Boys?
Yeah, he went from Ric Flair to The Rock to like the Beastie Boys. Yeah. Like, what?
So I give him credit. He's great.
Yeah.
But
it was a little clunky.
But those are all other people's bits.
Yes.
Like, he did, that's The Rock thing, the jabroni thing.
Yes, and the first one was the Flair. He did Flair, The Rock, and then moved into the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, let's get your own bit,
Trev. Get some new material.
But anyway, the whole point of playing all of that was to show you, dude, the Chiefs, they are cranking up the trash talk.
Yeah. Although I do enjoy the whole, we beat your ass. Well, you won by 3 points on a last second. Like,
yeah, Frank Clark.
Yeah, Frank Clark's
like,
well, look, that was as close a game as you could have, and... You know, and I know the officials are such a hotly debated thing right now. They were bad in both games, and there were some questionable calls in this one. Certainly felt like a lot of them went Kansas City's way, although the last one that ended up costing the game, with the Osai hit, that clearly was a penalty.
You know, he almost committed to Oregon?
No, I didn't know that.
Joseph Osai?
Yeah, he ended up, he was Longhorn. He was a hook'em guy.
He played at Texas, but Oregon was in his final three.
Like, you have to throw
and by
that.
By the way, Buck and I
just
like to announce we have sent Joseph Osai a gift in the mail. A small thank you. Token of our appreciation for winning us a bunch of money on that game.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. But, I mean, both of those teams had a dozen chances to close that game out and didn't. And that's what happens when you have two really good teams going toe-to-toe, and it usually ends up being, you know, a mistake here, a mistake there, and... I mean, that's ultimately what happened here.
Well, so Osai, just real quick on that, we talked about this earlier a little bit with the poll question, but this whole, it's just a weird time because something like that happens, and all of a sudden the NFL's rigged.
Yeah. I don't.
People think that.
Well, people are dumb. People are.
I guess that's just what it is.
It's what it is.
It just seems to be worse now than ever before. Well, whole it's rigged thing.
Well, and but
it's
I think
not even remotely rigged.
Well, I think it's the same thing that goes into politics, or whether it's COVID or anything. There's so much information out there now that it's easy to get caught up into.
So it's just like the Trump playbook. It's just easier.
If you throw
it's got to be rigged.
If you throw a lot against a wall,
easy explanation.
Yes, there's it's.
I mean, look, it is absurd to think that should not have been called.
Yes,
the Osai hit.
But
I don't know what he was doing. As a matter of fact, I searched far and wide to get his commentary on it, and the one thing I found, we don't have the clip, but I can just paraphrase for you. He said, "Well, he was really distraught.
He was sitting on the sidelines bawling his eyes out."
But they interviewed him after the game, and he was still very distraught, and he didn't seem to be making a whole lot of – like, he really – put it this way, he really didn't have a great explanation.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand why guys can't seem to pull up on that hit, mm-hmm. much like they do rushing the quarterback.
Yeah.
They all do it rushing the quarterback. Why did they – that was so clear – he was so clearly out of bounds.
There's no excuse for it.
There really is no excuse for it. I don't understand why you can't pull up.
We do have a kind of – it's a lengthier clip. It's about a minute and a half of those two players, Osai and BJ Hill, talking about that if you want it.
Okay, I guess we can – okay, yeah. I didn't know that. We can play that. What he said was he didn't know how far out of bounds they were, which also doesn't hold water to me because it's clearly in the white part of the sideline, and he's like 2 feet into it.
I'll hear it. My only thing when I always say that is this: games are happening so fast, and when we watch them from a 30,000-foot view and we watch it in slow-mo, whereas there you're chasing a guy, and I honestly just think it's instinctual to just reach out and push someone, and I don't think you realize, like, when you're running full speed like that, the difference between you being in bounds and all of a sudden you're out of bounds, you're talking about a tenth of a second. And I just think it comes to a reactionary thing. You're just chasing and chasing and chasing, and you finally get there, and you shove. When he goes back and watches that, and the coaches will say, "Hey, what were you doing?" He will have no explanation. But there's never an explanation when you F up. No one ever sets out to be like, "Hey, you know what I'm going to do on this play? Well, I'm going to screw over my team." It's just
but that's different than an egregious one like this.
It's
like, I mean,
really
look,
bad.
There are a lot of split second things that we understand. Like, but that one, it's like, dude, especially at that point in the game,
you
have got to be smarter than that. Like, you cost your team the game.
It's bad.
And the other players were pissed. Did you see the video of the other players walking into the locker room screaming?
Yeah,
how the
Jermaine
hell can
Pratt was upset with
Pratt
him.
Was like, "How do you touch the quarterback?"
Pratt has since come out and apologized now because he said he felt bad for treating his teammate.
Everyone
that
got caught up in that moment, but it's. I don't blame him for having a boneheaded move. It happens. But I also don't blame his teammates for being frustrated because, look, that game goes to overtime, and then we don't know what happens after that. But that game goes to overtime if he does not shove him out of bounds. And to make a play like that, as dumb as it was, on such a big stage with 8 seconds remaining, there really just isn't a good excuse for it. And while there were plenty of opportunities for them to close out that game, it's hard not to point to that and say and he forever will believe that he cost himself and his team a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
So let's hear it. You said it's about a minute and a half?
Yeah, that's right.
Who is the guy with him?
It's BJ Hill, the person who was consoling him.
Yeah, it's 92. He was the guy that was getting held.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, two holding calls on that play?
Yeah, it's one.
Or at least one?
It was one. There's
See, it's rigged.
It's definitely up for debate.
Very clearly rigged.
Dumb question. Come on. He played his butt off the whole game. That's a different question.
Overall, I mean, what it looked like guys were coming up to you on the sideline as you went through that. I mean, what was that like having guys come up and kind of go?
Like I said, it was great knowing that I had the support of my teammates. And I just got to, like Sam was saying, I got to learn from experience. And I got to know not to get close to that quarterback when he's close to that sideline. If it's anything that could possibly cause a penalty in a dire situation like that, I got to do better.
Things are happening so fast there, obviously. Did you have any idea you were at that sideline there? I mean, obviously, you're in full chase.
Yeah, I was just in full chase mode, and I was trying to push him to maybe get him going backwards because I knew he was going for that sideline. I was trying to make him go backwards, get that clock running, but I didn't know. I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know how far out of bounds we were. But, yeah.
Did you get injured on that
play? Yeah, my knee buckled a little bit, but we're going to take care of it and get an MRI done tomorrow.
Thank you.
Which knee?
The right knee.
What did Zach tell you after the game?
He just told me to keep my head up, told me there were a bunch of different plays we had to make that it didn't come down to that one, and we just got to keep moving forward.
What your teammates told you?
Same exact thing. They've been super supportive, and it's just... I got to be better, but they've been very supportive.
How hard is that to kind of not put all that weight on you as you go through this? I mean, it's just...
It's extremely hard, right? Man.
Come on, man.
I'm sure it's tough. That's why I ask him about it.
That's a brilliant question, bro. Come on.
That's a clown question, bro. Look, Boy, you're right. It's like... His answers were so unsatisfactory that it is alarming to, I think, the lay fan how little awareness he really had. I mean, he was saying he wanted to push him backwards.
He was behind.
To keep him in bounds. Dude, he was behind him.
Out of bounds.
Almost pushing him in the back. Like that.
It's just.
He was, I mean.
He
you got to be aware. I guess that's the thing is, as you've pointed out, I think a lot of times when we watch these games, these teams are so well coached, most of them, that we all know games can come down to little boneheaded things like this. Mm-hmm. And so when a guy makes a play that bad, we just think the coaches have covered all this like that because they're so tight on everything. Like every little thing matters in the NFL to the point where I think it's just alarming to the average fan how little awareness guys may have of whether it's down and distance, whether it's, remember the classic one was Donovan McNabb didn't even know there was overtime. Awareness of where they are on the field, just little things that we think the team has tightened up when we're watching. It's like, okay, can't get a penalty here, right? Guys are smart enough to know that, and then they get the most costly, dumbest penalty of all time,
Yeah.
It's just they must not be as aware on the field as we think they are.
I just think sometimes in the heat of the moment, you don't think. I mean, I know that just sounds so cheesy, but it's true. Have you ever, I don't know, this, I'm trying to like, to you being a golf guy, do you think about your golf swing when you're in the middle of it or at some point, right? You're committed to it. It's just, it's happening. And when you're involved in these things, I promise you what he was going through his head in that moment was nothing. I've been in these situations where I'm watching film and my coach will be like, what the hell are you doing? And I cannot sit there and give you an I'm watching myself doing it. And my only thing is I don't want to be doing that either. Like neither one of us want that. And I cannot tell you like, he's like, how could you not see that guy? And I'm staring at the linebacker running right by me. They'll run right by me. And I'm like, I don't know how I didn't see him. The coach back, you're looking right at him. And I'm like, I don't know. And I just think that's one of those that forever he will ask himself, what was I doing? And there will not be an explanation for it. But in today's NFL, and I know they do this all the time, when a quarterback is running and starts to slide or you get near the out of bounds line, you cannot in any shape or form do anything. You can't, and that has been drilled over and over again, and it really is a fairly basic play at this point to just lay up and put your hands up. So for a game to be decided on that, it really is about as dumb and an irresponsible play as you could ever make, and I feel bad for the man because he played a hell of a game, and he was a great player all year for them, and this one just didn't go his way.
Well, it's like both things are true. It's like, sometimes guys out there, they aren't thinking and it's so fast.
Yep.
But at the same time, in this instance, he has to be thinking.
Yep.
So it's a weird one. But and somebody texted and said, if he pulled up, is it possible Mahomes turns up field for another 5 or 10? No. He was like 2 feet out of bounds.
Yes. There's no.
It wasn't even close, guys.
There's nothing to say other than he screwed up and, it was bad and it cost his team.
I'll tell you what.
The right tackle cost his team a bunch of times, too.
You know who I gained a lot of respect for after that game was Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
I thought Zach Taylor was classy as F.
He handled himself so well yesterday.
He was great because he had a lot to be pissed about, including the officiating and the third and nine times three.
That whole weird thing. And by the way, a lot of people are pointing out the two holds that happened on that. One, I don't think is a hold. I think it was a good no call. There's another one on there that I think easily could have been called a hold. But on the Sky Moore punt, that to me looks about as blatant as can be that you had a clear block in the back.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Oh, there's a...
Is there a block in the back on that one?
And it's a big block in the back. It's really? One of the blocks that clears Sky Moore. And
wow.
You know, again, Cincinnati can look at that and be like, what the hell? But you had two drives in the final 4.5 minutes to go down and kick a field goal, and you win that game, and you couldn't get it done. Because you couldn't protect Burrow, and then you had the great play with the interception. So some of that's on you. You had opportunities to close out that game. You didn't. You let it come down to the wire, and a bad play by one of your guys on a flag, and then maybe two no calls. But if you leave it in the hands of the officials, funky things can happen. But for everyone saying that the two holds on that play, I think the clip on the punt return was way worse, because if they don't get that, we're probably not having this discussion. That was a 30-yard difference in field position. Actually, more than that, because it would have been 15 yards from the from the clip, and he returned it about 30 yards. That's a 45-yard field swing right there.
Is there any team better with less time on the clock
No.
and getting set up for a field goal No. and getting into position to get a field goal than Kansas City? Because the second he made that run, you went, oh. And they only had the one timeout. You went, dude, they're going to kick a field goal and win the game.
Yep.
Just because that guy... Was it Sky Moore,
Rookie? Yep.
Set him up. And, you know, we talked about this on Friday. You weren't here, but did you know Kansas City had the 32nd ranked special teams in the NFL?
They did talk about that before, leading up to the game. And
they're the worst special teams in the league, to the point where Sky Moore, and Jim Nance mentioned it several times on the broadcast, that dude muffed so many punts, they benched his ass.
Yeah, and
but because of all the injuries in the game, he had to be back out there. He was a big reason why they were the 32nd ranked special teams, and that dude comes through with one of the biggest plays of the game.
So weird. And Cincinnati, on the other hand, who has pretty good special teams, you kicked a non-directional punt. And maybe this is because you had no respect for Kansas City. You had a middle-of-the-field punt with no hang time. Like, that's the definite, like, you just threw an 89-mile-an-hour fastball down the middle of the plate and told him you were going to do it. You can't. Again, we're talking about, like, big moments and, like, players that didn't come through. Cincinnati punter, you can't have a short, middle-of-the-field punt with no hang time in that situation. You can't. You just can't allow that to happen. So there was just so many little things that didn't go your way, and then so many little things for Kansas City. Like you said, the Sky Moore play, you know.
Well, Chris Jones made a couple of huge plays.
He was phenomenal.
I mean, if you really get down to it, when it's 20-20 and the game's on the line, the game's hanging in the balance, we all know, obviously, the Osai penalty was the biggest play, but the punt return by Sky Moore,
yep.
The Chris Jones, I think it was one sack, or might no, it was just the one sack right at the end there.
Well, that he had more than that, but
he had two in the game.
But the one to close
but the
it
last
out,
one was enormous.
Enormous. And by the way, give Kansas City some credit too. You know, he's an interior defensive lineman. And Kansas City, a couple times, and it paid benefits, they moved him out and rushed him to the wide end so that you can't double him. They're like, hey, we're going to put you one-on-one with the tackle, and he beat him like a rented mule.
On Friday, we were talking about him as, dude, that guy, you know, and they said it on the broadcast too, but he had 13 playoff games in his career and never had a sack.
He had an Aaron Donald moment.
He had to be big in this game, and he was a beast because he had to feast on the Cincinnati banged up offensive line, because if he didn't, Kansas City's defense in the back end is too inexperienced to hold up. I thought the Kansas City defense played really well.
With eight rookies.
For the most part.
They had four starters, eight rookies that play a lot of time.
It wasn't just Jones. Yeah. I thought a lot of those guys stepped up and played really, really well. Well,
and they lose their best corner, right? And so you're playing a bunch of rookies out there.
Is that Gay?
Sneed went down.
Sneed went down.
And
right.
Gay was their linebacker, edge rusher. But when Sneed went down, you're playing three rookies back there. And boy, there were some nice plays they had, including the one, I think it was Cook that had the tip. But the final interception that they had there, that's a great play, reaching up and getting a hand on that ball. I mean, they
played well.
They played well.
All right. More on the AFC Championship coming up next, including the basically Jordan flu game from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, which we will never hear the end of.
Well, but we shouldn't. That was amazing.
It's really
That's
good.
One of the best performances you'll see under all the pressure and the injury. I mean, dude, that was legendary. So we'll get to that next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's our AFC Championship crab dip. Patrick Mahomes, we've talked a lot about Osai, but man, Mahomes. So they said before the game he was getting 4 to 5 hours a day of treatment on that ankle.
Yep.
And they also said he did not take a shot. Do you buy that?
Not really.
Because I was thinking, like, once he, it seemed like he aggravated it in the second half there and he was limping around.
Yeah.
Wouldn't a shot have helped him?
Yeah, I assume. Look, I don't. I never believe anyone. Painkillers and Toradol and anti-inflammatories and everything else, it makes the world go round. So whether you took a shot, whether he's on painkillers, whether he took a shot of Toradol, which is an anti-inflammatory. Look, whatever he did to get on the field, I don't believe half of what they say. Because I love when the guy goes into the tent and he can barely walk, and then he comes out and he's running around and we talk about how gutsy he is. Sure, but you know, let's just call a spade a spade.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if he didn't get a shot, like a pain-killing injection,
yeah,
it would seem to me that that was a mistake. I mean, he doesn't have to get it. It's his body. It's just...
But he looked... I mean, it was...
He probably did get one.
It wasn't until the second half where I thought it was really noticeable. I thought in the first half he looked really good. I mean, all game he moved around on it. There was a couple times he threw off that back foot. Look, either way, it's a gutsy performance. He wasn't 100%. He had the big tape job on it, but he played his ass off, and I don't think it was a major factor in the game.
Well, I thought it was. It's just that he played through it. I mean, he's a badass.
Yes.
That was Jordan flu game stuff.
He did not have a real negative. I'm saying he did not play poorly on that leg.
Yeah, he overcame it, but it certainly changed his game. Now, we talked a little bit about this on Friday when you weren't here, but do you know who the number one pocket passer in the NFL is this year?
Is it Patrick Mahomes?
It is. And we were bringing that up because the KC Star wrote an article about how the way the Bengals have played Mahomes in winning those three previous meetings.
Keep him in the pocket,
they
right?
They keep him in the pocket, and he has this year, as opposed to the last 2 years, he has elevated his pocket passing game to number one in the NFL.
And they said this last...
And he, of course, was in the pocket most of the night in this game, which allowed him to... be what, 29 of what, 43?
29 of 43, 326, two tutties, no picks. He had the one bad fumble, which is the ball's hard as a rock and it's 6 degrees, you know, it came out of his hand, which was a huge play, but still. I remember last year when people started playing that really high, two deep safety look against him, which has now become the rage in the NFL, and he almost looked mortal, right? Like it was just this weird thing where he would scramble around and and there just wasn't anything open deep.
He was making mistakes.
And so this idea was he had to learn to play more on time. And they talked about this. Hey, this is going to be a progression and there's going to be a learning curve here. And they got rid of Tyreek Hill and it was still the number one offense. And he put up what, 45, 46 touchdowns, number one in the NFL. It's stupid. And he has now... He's now added, like you said, this element to his game. And you wonder, last year, maybe the Patrick Mahomes can't win this game. And this year, he can because of that growth.
Exactly.
He's only 27, and he keeps getting better.
You know what, one play? Yeah, he does. And then the high ankle sprain, it's just...
And then when he needs to, he scrambles on the biggest play of the game. And, you know...
They said he ran faster on that last scramble than any run that he has had this postseason.
On that leg, on after that four leg. Quarters and that temperature...
Dude, That's
called adrenaline.
Possessed by adrenaline, for sure.
Dude, he is a badass.
Yes.
He ran 18.14 miles per hour on that play. And to think Cliff Kingsbury had him in college and went 16-21. No, but so I saw the stats on Mahomes. You know, I mean, obviously we know how great he played, but on one leg, he was 6 of 6 outside the box. He was 6 of 6 on the run, and he was 6 of 6 on extended dropbacks.
Yeah.
So every time he had to kind of, I mean, we were talking about him staying in the pocket, but there were times when obviously he can't.
And he did it every time.
But 6 of 6, dude. That's 18 of 18.
Yep.
Didn't even miss a throw. And you want to talk about game of inches, because they were getting after him too.
Oh yeah.
That third quarter touchdown to Valdez Scandling, mm-hmm. that was a third down throw. And that was, you want to talk about a game of inches. Hilton's finger was a fraction of an inch from deflecting that ball.
Yeah.
And it changes everything.
Yeah.
But he snuck that ball in there. I thought that throw, that play right there, was one of the biggest plays of the game that no one's going to talk about. When on third down, he had to make a play. The pocket was closing in. He steps up and just slings one to Valdez Scandling at the goal line. And Hilton almost got there.
Game.
That's the difference.
Game of inches.
Because Cincinnati was not as good in the red zone as Kansas City was. So that plays like that.
And how about this, too? They lose 3 starting receivers yeah. in that game.
Yeah. And they had no receivers left.
They had no receivers left.
That's the other thing. He's having to do this with freaking Pacheco got hurt too, right?
Well, Pacheco was in at the end. He was banged up a little bit. He had that nice catch on that drive where he ended up getting the first down. But
wait, so they lost Schuster.
They lost Schuster.
Tony.
They lost Tony, and they lost Hardman, right?
I
think they all went down. And
so they were left with Kelsey,
Scantling, and Sky Moore.
And Sky Moore.
Yeah. But they lost 3 basically starting wide receivers, and they just kept...
They lost a linebacker, or you said Gay.
Yeah.
And they lost Snead,
yeah.
their best corner. They lost them all in that game.
Snead went down early. They were playing on their 2 deep. They had 8 or 9 rookies, and 4 of them were starting. And at the end of that, when they were in nickel, they had 3 rookie starting DBs. And by the way, they came up with the interception there where they you want to talk about inches. I think it was Cook reached up, got the tip, and then I forget who had the interception, but came around. But you know, look,
huge.
Kansas City was playing a lot of youth out there, and they came up with some big plays. They just made one more play than Cincinnati did, and I still think ultimately. If I'm going to go talk about the one thing that made the difference, and I thought early on they got overwhelmed. I thought they made adjustments in the second into the third and fourth quarter. Cincinnati could not hold up from an offensive line standpoint against Kansas City, but I thought they did a great job of going to some 6 and 7 man protections. They did a decent job, even though the run game wasn't really working like it had previously against them. They did a much better job of neutralizing the rush, but when they needed to go into 5 and 6 step drops, when they needed to run more guys out into coverage, ultimately, they couldn't hold up against the Chiefs' pass rush. And on a couple of those big situations, this tells you how little faith Cincinnati had. Even on the Hurst, the third and whatever it was, like 3rd and 16 there at the end when they had the intentional grounding, that was a 3-man route.
Huge play.
They were keeping. They did not trust to keep only 5 guys in the block. They were only running 3-man routes out there. And like on that, the last Chris Jones sack, they did. They went with only a 5-man protection with the back checking and going out. And like the moment, I feel like every time they did that, they're like, okay, we need our O-line to hold up. We need you to block 1-on-1. They couldn't do it. And I just think 2 years in a row, they came so close to winning the Super Bowl last year, and they came so close to winning this. And it's like the Niners with bad luck. If they just had a little bit of health on that O-line, I think we're talking about this Cincinnati team differently.
Well, I think one other thing, and we'll get to this next, I didn't think Burrow was that great.
Well,
he wasn't that great. Well, and a lot of that's, you know,
he was under pressure.
Offensive line. But
he had 2 picks, and both of them were, you know.
Well, he could have had 4. So we'll get to that next. It is 5:55 on the Fan. All right, wrapping up AFC Championship Crab Dip here. I did not think Burrow was great. Now, a lot of that's, you know, look, you warm up a quarterback like that, and they all look ordinary. That's
tough.
What happens with Brady and Manning, and, you know, that's how you get them.
Yeah.
At the same time, Burrow, you know, he got hit 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
He was sacked 5 times. He did throw 2 picks. He also threw a pick to McDuffie on the very first drive.
Yeah,
McDuffie missed it.
Missed it. And the first one, the first interception was he was pressured and made a dumb throw. The second one, he threw
that
into,
wasn't his fault.
He threw into double coverage, but they do that a lot. They were doubling Chase, and they were double. Like they
made a couple plays.
They
that
made
way
a couple
too.
Plays that way. So you can say you shouldn't throw that ball, but that's what they do, and it was a great play on Kansas City's part.
Well,
the first one though was a bad throw.
Yeah, and I think he was looking for the receiver to maybe come back a little bit on that one, but he also threw another interception, but it got negated because of the pass interference.
Yeah.
You forget that. So it could have been four.
Yeah, but the reason that was intercepted is,
fair.
And I'm glad they called it.
It shouldn't have been a pick.
No.
Yeah. But I saw a stat on him that said 29 quarterbacks have 20 or more playoff dropbacks in the fourth quarter since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess where Burrow ranks? Now, they're measuring this by EPA, which is expected points added, which is a huge...
It's like baseball war, right?
Yeah, it's a huge thing in the analytics world. I think it's a very reliable statistic that basically shows it measures the value of an individual play in terms of points.
Yeah.
What it means for how many points you will get.
So how are we going?
So 29 quarterbacks have 20 or more playoff dropbacks in the fourth quarter only since 2017. Burrow ranks 24th. Out of the 29.
So not necessarily what you would think of this Joe Cool sort of moment.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because I did not think he was...
No, he's got a great rep.
I did not think he was great in that game. I think Kansas City had a lot to do with that, obviously up front, but I thought that Kansas City, as we've mentioned, their secondary played a lot better than many people expected.
Yeah.
But Burrow, we do expect quarterbacks to rise up and overcome, right? That's why they're greatness.
Well,
Mahomes did and Burrow didn't.
Your final, you got the ball with I'm looking here. I want to see the time when it was 20-20, right? Because you scored to go up 20-20, and then you held Kansas City to, well, you didn't. Maybe you did. Maybe you had a sack.
I had nothing to do with it.
And they held them to the punt. So they got the ball twice in the final, let's say, 5.5-ish minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The interception.
Yep.
We were talking about down the right-hand side that was into double. I think that was into T. Higgins, and it got tipped and intercepted. And then your defense forced the punt, and you got the ball back, and this was the Joe Burrow moment. You got it back with about two and some change. And
way down in their own territory.
Way down in their own territory.
But they got that 3rd-and-16.
Yep.
And when they got that, I thought, they're going to win.
This is it. And ultimately, you wasted two on 1st and 2nd down, and then the 3rd down, you didn't help. You didn't hold up. That's where you went with a 5-man protection. Jones beat your backup right tackle 1-on-1. I thought it was very savvy on Kansas City to move Jones out wide, and he smoked him. And so you had two drives, and I'm not putting this and saying this is all on Joe Burrow, but to your point, you had two drives to be the hero, two. And one ended in an interception and one ended in a punt, and you left enough time on the clock where – Patrick Mahomes, this is what they do. There's not another team in the NFL that I would want. If you said, I'm going to give you under a minute and you have to go the length of the field, there's not another team that I would pick other than Kansas City in that situation.
No way.
And this
even
is,
with the high ankle sprain.
Yeah, this is just what they do. And then, of course, they were, they benefited from...
What a great game, though.
...a penalty, but...
We'll have more on that tomorrow. And by the way, this guy is right. Bills look so bad. Because in the first quarter, Kansas City sacked his ass 4 times.
And I wondered this, and we wondered it out loud. I thought that they were going to lose to Buffalo because the O-line, you're not going to be able to hold up with 3 backup offensive linemen and one of your O-linemen playing basically on one leg. You're playing with 1.5 healthy O-linemen. I'm like, it's not going to happen. I really do think that the snow and the inability of the Bills to get off the ball and just kind of having that sluggish, slippery field – I think that made a huge difference because at Arrowhead, boy, Kansas City from the jump,
Burrowhead,
that D-line just looked like it was just feasting on what Cincinnati was doing. And give credit to Zach Taylor and Cincinnati because they made adjustments and they managed,
great adjustments.
They managed to keep guys in and they were chipping and ran more 3-man routes and they did a much better job of moving the ball. But ultimately, how about this? Hats off to both defenses for giving up 20 points. I know, the field goal led to 23, but basically for the whole game, both of those defenses,
great game,
which are not lauded defenses, held those two offenses to 20 points.
Yep. Excellent football all around the field, man. That's the beauty. That's why we love the NFL right there. Yep. Chess match, man. Yep. Back and forth. You do this? All right. Well, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you just have a dude make a play.
Yep.
Or you just have a no call.
You see that? You go back and see the no call on the block in the back?
Yeah, I did. It was, I couldn't get a close up of it to see. I think the guy certainly flopped, but it's hard to see from the view that I was watching on this.
It just it's
hard to see if he really pushed him or if it was just a flop.
Yeah, because to be fair, I you only see the one view. I've yet to see someone give me the alternate angle, but boy, it sure looks like when Moore turns the corner, someone for Kansas City is standing like literally right behind the Cincinnati player, and the Cincinnati player goes flying forward while Moore turns the corner. If you want to talk about like no calls, that's the one when I was watching where I was like, how is that not a penalty? But this, you know, you can't make every call.
All right, let's get to the tickle trunk.
Oof. That's the sound of my tickle trunk. Especially when we're talking about Michael Jackson. That's a bad...
little cringy. Yeah, we got Michael Jackson talk. It's not going well.
No, it's not good.
Who will play Michael Jackson in a new biopic? Find out next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.